Jesse shared something that I want to follow through on. That's that whole movement of the Holy Spirit thing. And there's people within the church that more and more in the years I've been here have come to me and told me about Holy Spirit encounters. Things that they're growing in their faith, or they've just been there in their faith a long time, and God has spoken to them about things that God wanted them to do, and it may have seemed weird, it may have seemed out of place, it may have communicated to them things they didn't understand, but it's not just one or two. There are at least a dozen people in this church who come to me with stories that may have somehow or another been similar to what Jesse shared, but I want to share one with you that I had while I was on vacation. On our vacation, we were on a plane, and there was a devotion. I was reading my taking devotion time as I was on the plane, and there was a devotion that I read, and it hit me in just a powerful way. Sometimes you just have those daily devotions that just seem to come alive in an amazing way, and God's saying so much that you can't even put into words. And I was just reflecting on that and spending time there, and I showed it to Christy, and she nodded her head and realized that it was related to stuff that she and I had talked about for years. And it was just profound to me. And as I was thinking on that and praying on that, God impressed upon me, Greg, take that devotion and share it with the guy beside of you. I just sat there. He was busy doing something else. So I said, I'll just sit for a while. God didn't let that go by. I had had conversation, being the person I am, you can imagine, I kicked up a conversation before the plane ever left. So we had already introduced each other and knew each other and had a few conversations about our families, where we were going, stuff like that. So it wasn't without some conversation we'd already had. But I finally looked at him and said a little bit about faith and was he a religious man? And we talked a little bit. He said, well, kind of. I said, well, this might be as weird for you as it is for me, but I just feel like this is something I want to share with you. So I took that devotion and just shared it with him. He read it, took the book, handed it back to me, and looked at me and said, that's interesting. And that was it. Mine doesn't go to the point. I didn't have a conversation to find out all that was going on with him. He didn't act like it was weird or strange. He just said, that's interesting. And after that, I got a peace. I didn't have a conversation to know what went on. I'm probably never going to see the guy again. I don't remember his name. But I believe with all my heart, I was obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I believe somehow or another, the Holy Spirit probably desired to use that. And it wasn't about me. I don't need to know what God's doing. I just need to be obedient and willing to be used when God wants to use me. And I believe that really did happen in that way. But there are times when you follow through in the Holy Spirit that you aren't going to understand everything about what's going on. Yet you can still know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. I'm going to say a prayer before we begin, and that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to be a part, not just of the message today, but every message, every time we share like this. It can't be about me as a pastor getting up here just talking about what's on my heart. It's got to be the Spirit moving. And sometimes the Spirit needs to move even in spite of us, even in spite of me. When I haven't, for some reason, connected in the way that God wants me to deliver the message that needs to be delivered, God can still work through His Holy Spirit in spite of that. Today, I pray that's not the case. I pray I'm very obedient and I've heard and I'm clear in what I'm saying and that God's a part of that. But let's truly mean it. When we say what the song did, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. Lord God, as we come before you, may we know you, may we feel you. Lord, I pray that we will acknowledge what it means to be the people of God, to live as the family of God. In such a way that we draw others to you. And Lord, in the midst of that and being the family of God, we're able to respond to everything around us, not just from the way we may have been taught or what the world says or just by intuitions, but that we're guided by your Holy Spirit as we walk down a path. And Lord, sometimes it's just going to be natural, but Lord, sometimes it's going to be like Jesse said, and we're going to our car and it's so real that we have to get out and you literally take our path in another direction that we may not have wanted to go. But Lord, help us to go there today, to understand what you're saying and to be able to live that out on a daily basis. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to read it yet, but go ahead and begin looking up the scripture for today. It comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. We're not going there yet. I want you for a minute to just turn on your imagination with me. I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine you're part of a really big family. The Saunders, you don't need to imagine this. It's real. All right, but for the rest of us, imagine you're part of a really big family. And in that family, there's a father, and he's basically bigger than life. He's a father who loves you more than life itself. And everybody in that family, and he has enough love to go around for everyone in that family, and it's just amazing. It's a wonderful experience. He's able to care and provide for your every need. Among all of these provisions, there's one thing that's pretty special in this family, though, that the Father has provided. The Father has provided a special place for the family to meet on a regular basis. It's just this special place that the family is able to come together. It's a place that it's just really a building, but the Father has created it with so much meaning and so much purpose that it's often difficult to put that into words. It's to be a special place. See, the Father is going to have to go away for a little while. The Father's gone away, but he created a special place. And this is a place where the family, particularly while he's away, is to be reminded of the Father's love for them. That amazing, wonderful love. The Father also wants it to be a place where it brings the family together from all different directions and walks and experience things together. Because you see, they have a big family, remember? You have brothers and sisters, and they have children and all this. And so there's lots of things going on. Y'all probably don't have much going on in your life, so you can't imagine that. But there's all of these things going on. But the Father created this, and the Father loved you so much. And the one thing the Father asks is, I know you've got lots going on, and I'm excited about that, but I want you on a regular basis to come back together with your families, and I want you to share with each other. And I want you to know what's going on in each other's lives, and use this building as a central place to be able to do that. But it's more than that. This building is also supposed to be a place, because the Father, in all of his love, realizes that we make mistakes. I heard something yesterday, and Caleb thought it was pretty funny. Said that families could be described a little bit like fudge. They're mostly sweet, but often full of nuts. So, you see, the Father realized that. And he realized that in our nuttiness sometimes, we make mistakes, we fall short, we need forgiveness. We need to get put back on the right path. And so, you know, this building he created, he mentioned that in particular and said, this is a place that you should be able to come back together. And you should be reminded of my love, and you should be able to seek forgiveness, and it should help you in getting back in the direction that you know you need to be. You understand why this is a kind of special building, a special place for people to come together? The Father also wanted this to be a place that encouraged unity in the family, a place that brings out the best in each other through love and good deeds. The family comes together here in part because their Father asked them to, but it's also because it makes a difference in the rest of their lives. Now imagine, you're still a part of this family. You've got this building the Father's created. You're able to come here and be a part of this. But now imagine some time has gone by, and this has continued for a while, and it was a pretty cool thing. But now imagine there are members of the family who begin to take this meeting place for granted. They come, or at least occasionally come, but they've lost sight of the purpose of the building and the gathering. Some come to impress the rest of the family with what they have or what their accomplishments are. Some have come to see what they can get from the family gatherings, but do little to help out with the upkeep, with the cleaning and the basic repairs of the building, as they did to start with, because they don't really care about that anymore. They just come and see what's in it for them. Some have forgotten almost entirely that it's a place indeed to draw them and all that enter closer to their Father, the whole purpose. Instead, they use the building as a place to establish their own power and control at times over other people. They seem to have forgotten that their Father had left instructions to use their talents in this place for some specific purposes. This building, this place that God, that the Father created, reminded each of them of His love and grace through their teaching and sharing. They're supposed to do that. They're supposed to remind each other of grace and love and truth through their teaching and sharing with each other. They're to provide a model of coming together for meals and fellowship. That's not the only time they're to do that, but this is supposed to be a building, because when they come together, that becomes an important part. The meals and fellowship, and it models something that they continue outside of the time they have in this building. But then they also serve and take care of each other when they're together. People seem to have forgotten this. The building has lost the whole meaning that the Father intended. You figured out by now what the analogy is for this. But I really wanted you to go there in your imagination. I really wanted you to understand that church, it's supposed to be so much more than what we imagine church to be sometimes. And I took a few liberties in terms of imagination, but I don't think I stretched it too much. I think this is what God intends. I believe it really is a place. God instituted the church. The Bible does say that. God instituted the church, and I believe that's supposed to be a purpose of the church, the things we talked about here, that we do remember God's love, that we do come and unify with each other, that we do share the gifts, and in the midst of that, we take responsibility for the church God has instituted. So now, open your scriptures to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll be reading verses 19 through 25. And I invite you to follow along. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold unswervingly to hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So you see, I think we're on target with what the church is supposed to be. There are a few things, and if you've got your bulletin, you can see there with the notes that are listed. There are a few words that are underlined there in the scripture that we just shared together and then listed there below. And the first one is holy place. Jesse mentioned in one of the songs that we sang, we sang holy, holy, holy over and over and over again. What does holy mean? What does it mean for you to say Woodland is a holy place? What is that supposed to mean? You know, for some, it has grown to mean inappropriately that it's just a place that you come and you sit quietly. And it's a place you come and you don't make any noise. It's a place that you come and you're proper. And it becomes more about how we're supposed to act than it is what the real purpose of the place is, because it's what Jesse said. Do you remember what Jesse said about holy, holy, holy? It points to who God is. Now, who God is to impact how we react. But when we start trying to figure out how we're supposed to act or react without acknowledging who God is, it leads holy, holy, holy to be a place that doesn't seem very attractive, doesn't seem like a place we want to go. It doesn't seem like a place that would be a place that would have any meaning for us, because we don't want to be just still and it doesn't have the purpose it was intended. But holy, a holy place first and foremost connects us to the Father. You remember what that imaginary story we had at the beginning? And about that family that you're part of, that big family, and how amazing the Father is, and that Father created that building, helped put that building together so that we would continue to be able to remember His love. That's what God did. That's why this is a holy place. Because it points us to God. The building isn't holy because it's a building. And unfortunately, some people come to the building and worship the building instead of worship the God who instituted the church. He didn't institute the building. He instituted the church. The Big C Church, which is the family of God. The next word, our next phrase, is draw near to God. The church is intended to be a place, not just a place that you come and hear about God and recognize God. It's a place that you draw closer to God. There's intimacy. There's understanding. Even though you may not see and talk to God the Father the same way that you and I can talk to each other, you know His presence is here, particularly through the Holy Spirit. You feel that. You know that. And you respond to that. The church should be a place that you draw near to God. The church is also to be a place of cleansing. Cleansing is an embracing of a faith of truth and grace that offers both forgiveness and direction. As I kind of touched on earlier. Cleansing. I ask you to share some adjectives this morning, and we aren't going to go but so deep and so intimate with it, but throughout your week, do you ever get to a week it just was, for lack of a better word, a cruddy week? And you aren't, I like that, yeah. And you just come in and things just don't feel good. They don't feel right. This should be a place that you can come and you don't have to hide that. But you confess that. You give that to God, and you know Scripture says we're also supposed to confess to each other. And in sharing that with each other, we're able to encourage each other. So it's a place that you get real, you get genuine, and you get cleansed. You are able to become free of guilt, and then that offers an opportunity for redirection. Instead of coming in, sitting here in the holy, holy, holy place without understanding what holy is and feeling like, okay, I've done my duty, now I'm supposed to be able to go back and do other, and nothing really changed. That's not what church is supposed to be like. And if you do that long enough, you're going to get tired of it. It's going to be meaningless, and you're going to eventually think that this whole idea of a relationship with God is meaningless because we haven't been willing to enter in that relationship that the Father yearns for. The church is supposed to enable us to stay closely connected with that on a regular basis and to impact our lives on a daily basis with the cleansingness. the direction, forgiveness. Another word that we have here is the word hope. I said there are some weeks that just seem cruddy. There are other weeks that we need hope. When we come together, it should be obvious, extremely obvious, that there's a promise of strength, love, purpose, and meaning in life beyond our own limitations. And we have limitations. But there should be hope that there's more than our limitations. That's what God the Father created, the house, the church. And not just the building, but in some cases, yes, the building, as a place to come to rediscover that hope that we know is there. Another one, love and good deeds. It's a place where a family cares for each other because they're family. We all desire to be a part of a family that really knows what it means to be family, to take care of each other, to take care of each other, not because of how you're going to be treated, not because of what you're going to get, but you just take care of family because they're family. That's what God the Father desires for the church. We come together from different places. We come together with differences. We come together with hurts. We come together with gifts. We come together with joy. But in the midst of that, all of us have needs. And we're to come together and care for each other as family just because we're family. Then the last one there, meeting regularly. This is a unique opportunity for a connection to God and the family of God. And this is to be a priority. Scripture says so. Not just to do it when it feels convenient. Not just to do it when you want to. The Father encourages us to come together, to meet together regularly for the purposes I just said. Not just because you're supposed to be able to check it off on some box and say it makes me a good Christian to be able to come to church. It doesn't. If that's the only reason you come to church, it doesn't do a thing to make you a better Christian. But it does if you understand the purpose behind the building, the meaning for it. What I've said just fits hand in hand with our church's vision that we spent months coming up with, and that vision is summarized in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and this was the institution of the first church. And so I go back to that, and that serves as a reminder. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And if you've been here regularly, you've heard this many times, but I want you to hear it in the context of God's purpose for the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This was the first church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And get this, and the Lord added to their number daily. Not just added to their number daily, but added to their number daily those who were being saved. If we're being the family of God the way God intends, and I don't mean playing church, but truly being the family of God in the way we just described, people are going to be drawn in, and the Father, whether it's you go back to that imaginary story, whether you recognize this God, the Father has enough love for that family to continue to grow, and people recognize that and they want to be a part of that. It's not something that's legalistic. It's not something you do so you can have a better reputation in the community. It's something you do because you understand who God is and you want to be a part of that. I could stop there. but I want to carry this over to something that I think is very practical and going to help us live out more directly. I believe there are things that we can and should do in terms of Woodland Baptist Church. This building, you can look around right here. This is a portion of the building. This is the sanctuary, the worship center part of the building right now. But many of you are going to walk into other classrooms and places today. There are things we can do. And some of them can be as simple as we're to take care of this place. We're to make sure that the rooms that we use are picked up, are left clean. Many of you have children. How many of you have ever asked a child, please clean your room? Why do we do that? It's their room. Why can't they do what they want to with it? Huh? There's responsibility in that. There's a pride in that. There's obedience in that. We as adults can understand why it's important to try to teach and raise up our children to know what it means to take care and clean their room. But what we miss sometimes is we also have that responsibility in this place. I'm wondering if it's just me or if other people, you ask your child to pick something up or move something and they say, I didn't put it there. That ever happen? Huh. Wonder if that ever happens in the church. That doesn't look good. Somebody should have put that away. I can't believe somebody would do that. Instead of taking responsibility for the place God has given us. Now, on the other hand, we also may need to help others, because if somebody's continually always going around leaving the same clothes and never putting them away in the clothes hamper and they're always doing that, they need to be challenged. They need some truth needs to be shared with them that they have a responsibility. So I'm not just saying they're supposed to be a little maid that constantly goes around at the church and takes care of everything and nothing's ever said to anybody. But there's a balance there. And we all are to accept that responsibility. That's simple. And one of the ways we're going to live that out, this is just a small portion of it, but July 31st is going to be our first Fifth Sunday celebration, which I'm so excited about. But it's a time when we're going to have one service at 9:30 that Sunday. We're going to come together. We're going to worship together. Then after that, we're going to have a house cleaning. You ever had that at your house? Where you just say, all right, this day we're going to clean everything at the house. Everybody's room's going to get clean. We're going to take care of everything. That's what we're going to do here that day. And we're going to get things taken care of. And you know, one of the things I want to happen is that we see and recognize that we have responsibility there. And I think that we're going to realize how much of a joy that is. And then after that, guess what we're going to do? We're going to eat together. We're going to hang out. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have fun. We're going to do what is intended to be done at the place we call church. Then the last thing, it's not just about doing those things. Some people get an idea, particularly if they haven't been involved in church or they've come in, they're newly introduced to the church. They think basically the church runs itself, and the pastor that gets up and preaches on Sunday morning really probably doesn't work but an hour one day a week anyway, can take care of everything else that needs to be done in the church. Church doesn't work that way. Let me give you just a little bit of an idea in case you didn't already know. We need so many people to help the church function the way God wants it to, and I'm just going to mention a few. We have this group called the Nominating Committee that tries to help find people and that have a passion and desiring gifts in different places, and then there are even some places that the Nominating Committee aren't involved that we need people to serve. Here are just a few examples. We need people that are part of something called Buildings and Grounds. Something as simple as a couple of weeks ago somebody put peepholes in the door here so the secretary, when she's here by herself and doesn't know who's coming, she doesn't have to open a blind door not knowing who's standing on the other side. There's now peepholes there that they can look. You might say, why do we have to do that? I think that's safety for the secretary's sake. That's a small thing Buildings and Grounds done. But Buildings and Grounds, this is a pretty big building. Do you have stuff to take care of at your house of? Is your house as big as this? Probably not quite this big. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be taken care of here. So there are people that do that. Another one happens to be hospitality. We talk about it's important to get together and eat and spend time together. When there's a get-together at your house, who takes care of making sure you have enough plates and cups and food and everything's put together the way it needs to be? Does that just kind of happen like that? And the guests come and everything's just there automatically? Somebody has to help get that stuff ready. We have a hospitality committee that help make sure that stuff goes off as well as it does. There's administrative positions like a finance committee, a personnel committee, Sunday school director, treasurer. All of those have responsibilities that you can imagine. I'm not going to describe all of them now. And then we have ministry teams that particularly focus toward ministry. We have a partnering team that for people who are really focused on missions and opportunity, they're in charge of trick or trunk as something that happens in October, a big thing that serves our community. We collect other things. We do things that help others in the name of Christ. This ministry team is a part of that that needs people to help out with them. There's a connecting committee that keeps people in the loop and helps try to ensure that no one falls between the cracks when they're struggling in different ways, that taking care of each other, making sure that's drawn to our attention. There's a developing team that's in charge of spiritual growth and development. There's a worship group, and there's a planning team that's going to be put together that helps me think through the process of what worship can and should look like. And then we just need leaders and teachers for youth and children, and then teachers for adult small groups as well. So you can see there's a lot that goes on here. I don't do all of this stuff, but we need people that do. There's a lot of jobs. I didn't mention half of them. So if this is the Father's house that's been provided for us, and we have responsibility, everybody needs to pitch in. We have responsibility to take care of the house. We also have responsibility to serve in the house. Not serve the church, but serve God. And through that, others see and understand what it means to be family and take care of family, because we are family. We're going to close now. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And I want you to consider, what is church about you? I entitled this, "What Happens at My Church." How do you respond to that? Somebody says, "What happens at my church?" Are you one of those that says, here's what happens at my church, and then begin this little gossip conversation about the shortcomings of the church? It happens at every single church, no matter how good or how great or how what the church is doing. Or maybe it's one of those things that what happens at my church stays at my church, because we don't want to share it anywhere else. Or hopefully, here's what happens at my church, and following that comes an enthusiastic message of truth and grace that people see in your face and in your response. This is a place that you get excited about, that you yearn to be at, that is a part of your life that carries over on a daily basis. And they become, just because of what that means to you, that they want to know a little bit more about this as well. And not so much about the church as it is this love, this meaning, this family, this God that you seem to care so much about and care so much about you. I'll be here to respond if there's anything God's placed on your heart, anything about what it means to be a part of your church, but more than that, God's church. I'd love to pray with you about, talk about that. The altar's open. Come today as you feel led. Let's stand and sing, "My Heart Is Yours."